Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
Hi, Cecilia.
Hello, Pastor Dave.
How are you doing today?
I am just as happy and bright and cheerful as I can be.
Good. I'm doing well as well.
I'm glad. Hey, you know, we've talked about Deb and the kids, but we've never talked about the rest of your family.
Oh.
I mean, do you have any brothers or sisters?
Yeah, I have one brother and one sister. They're both older than I. My sister is 5 years older, and my brother is about 3 years older.
Oh, and so you're the baby.
Yeah. I am. And they both looked out after me as I was growing up, which was very nice. And my brother still kind of looks out for me. In fact, I turn to him once in a while when I'm troubled and have problems, and I'll ask his advice. And the best advice he gave me, in fact, every time I think about my brother, I think about this. I came with a problem one time, and I asked him, so what do you think? And he gave me, he started with a question. I'm going to try this on you, Cecilia. What's today's date? Now, listeners, I know you might not be listening when we're recording, but today as we record, Cecilia, what's today's date?
As we record, today is March 8th, 2022.
Okay. Do you remember what you were doing March 8th, 2021, 1 year ago?
No.
Do you remember what you ate?
No.
Remember what you wore clothing-wise?
No.
Yeah. Given a year, most everything drifts away and we don't remember a thing about it. And that was his suggestion to me. Dave, you're worrying about something that really, in the long run, you won't even remember about because you don't remember what you did last year at this time. I love that advice. And that really flows into what we're going to be doing today in Luke chapter 12. Well, let's continue on in room 4216 with our reading of Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 22.
Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They do not have storerooms or barns. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how much God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is tossed into the fire, how much more will he clothe you? Oh, you of little faith." And guess what time it is, Pastor Dave?
Oh, I would guess it's question time.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Okay. Jesus says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, and your body, what you will wear. How do you not worry about your life and what you're going to eat and drink and what you're going to wear when you're on a very limited income?
Well, there's a couple things that go on here. First, do realize Jesus was on a limited income too.
No.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't a millionaire. He was actually living on the support we understand of those who would donate to his ministry. That's why Judas was the treasurer, keeping track. And there were 12 of them, remember. So they were dependent on what people would provide them. Well, so they were limited as well.
And didn't Peter and James and John and Andrew go out and fish, though?
It all. Nope, they left it all. They left it all. And maybe their family would supply, but they were with Jesus. So no, they were limited. Yeah. Okay. Second, that's why in the middle of this, he says, can any of you add, what did it say?
A single hour.
Uh-huh.
To his
by
life.
Worrying. So if you can't do that, then don't worry. Now, he didn't say, don't go out and do activity or be busy. He said, worry. And see, that's the thing he's zeroing in on here, is worrying, thinking about it. The anxiety provides nothing. In fact, there's studies that show it detracts and takes energy literally from yourself. And if you speak to others, it saps them of energy. So rather than worry and be anxious about this, go out and weed your garden, he would say, or go out and do some
volunteer work.
Do something. Yes, exactly. Don't worry, because that does zero.
Next question. He says, again, do not worry about your life or what you will eat. I love food. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some people have different body conditions. Diabetes, high blood pressure, other things. So if we're not supposed to worry about our bodies and what we'll eat, does that mean that it's okay to ignore those conditions because we're not supposed to worry about our life?
There is a difference between worry and think about. I mean, yesterday morning I was washing my face and getting dressed and thinking, what shall I eat for breakfast? Well, there's cereal. Oh, I could have hot oatmeal. No, I think there's some cinnamon toast. Yeah. Oh, but the butter is hard. And so I'll have to melt that. So I was thinking through what I was going to have for breakfast. I wasn't worrying of what I'm going to eat. Like, oh, there's going to be nothing there. I'm going to starve. That's the difference. It's okay to be thinking and planning, but obsessing over being concerned and giving undue time. That is what worry and anxiety is. And so when you mentioned these other conditions, yes, you should be thinking about those things. You should be concerned. You should be planning ahead to take care of your body. But it's when you obsess over the emotion, anxiety or worry rises up within your soul. That's what he's speaking about, not the thinking process. A good point to make, by the way. Very good point. I'm glad you brought that up.
And yet there are people who would say, I don't have anyone else. I'd rather have a good quality of life, which means, oh boy, here we go back to the last lesson. Eat, drink, and be merry while I have the time. How do we answer that?
Well, here is what the point that Jesus was saying here, coveting was, I want all these things.
Right.
The worry is the next stage or one, the cousin of, I suppose you'd say, one thing removed from the coveting is thinking about it, worrying about it. And he's saying, don't do that type of coveting, that type of obsessive thinking. So that it absorbs your life. So Jesus is warning us here about, again, that this is your focus. This is your life. Because just as the man who would store up everything in his barn so he could eat, drink, and be merry, he doesn't think about God. Well, the same thing is if you're worrying and thinking only about what today is going to bring, you're not thinking about God. And that brings us back to the focus of Luke chapter 12. Be thinking about God.
Faith.
Trusting in God. the next couple verses, it almost sounds at first like Jesus is repeating himself, but listen closely because there's a new nuance, something extra Jesus is giving us. Verse 29.
And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. The first question I have this time is, mm-hmm. he says the pagan world runs after mm-hmm. these things.
That's one of the nuances that Jesus is adding differently on this. Mm-hmm. Yep.
The pagan world was anything that didn't believe in Jesus Christ and especially the Gentiles.
Let's take it one step further. Those who mm-hmm. didn't believe in the true God. And when you look at the other religions, they're always trying to appease God. The whole concept of God is different in the pagan world. In fact, it makes it that they have to work to get God and work their way to heaven. And so often, therefore, there is no God but themselves. And that's what Jesus is saying. You know, if you're going to work your way to God and get your way to God and you do it all yourself, well, that's what the pagan world does. But you got a God. A God who cares. And that's why he says even little flock. It's kind of describing the relationship our God has with us. He takes care of us like little sheep who kind of wander away sometimes. He comes after us, who need food, and he knows it. And he makes sure they got green pastures to graze in. So this is the nuance that Jesus is giving different. When we've got God, when we have faith and trust in God, it's not like the pagan world who's always thinking about it.
So the pagan world is always has to get what it needs to eat or drink or mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. But instead, our God gets these things for us.
Yes, yes. Now, the other thing here, you might say, well, that doesn't help the people who are in warfare and it's just they're starving to death. Well, God does provide for us. Now, man may cut it off and in his sinfulness be cruel to other people. And again, here, it's not that God has forgotten us, because what does he say about our God? Seek first the kingdom of God and these things. And then he repeats the kingdom. And what does he say there, Cecilia, about the kingdom? That God has...
He has been pleased to give us...
Give us the kingdom.
The kingdom.
Yeah. Well, what is this kingdom? Who is this king? This is the first question we really should be asking.
Jesus Christ, of course.
He is the king. And why is he our king?
Because he is the Son of God, mm-hmm. one of the Trinity, mm-hmm. and he was made man, mm-hmm. died for us, rose again, ascension into heaven.
Exactly. And he is the one who is all powerful. He is the king because he conquered death and sin and the devil. He's put himself back in place spiritually as the king reigning supreme in our lives. So Jesus really is talking here first about our spiritual well-being. He's given us the kingdom. It's what Jesus has done. He has forgiven us by what he did. And if we have that, we have eternal life. And then this blink, even if it means starvation and warfare, is nothing because we have eternity with him. Eternity with him. And this is only about 2 seconds of eternity. 1001, 1002. There, that's our whole life compared to what is ahead of us. If we keep in focus God and what he's promising with life, we don't have to struggle for this world, this moment, this second, like the pagan world. We got a God who loves us takes care of us, blesses us, and helps us.
Pastor Dave, a few weeks ago, you and I were talking about something. I was upset. I'm not sure why. And you said you need to focus on things above mm-hmm. and not as much about things here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I do focus on heaven. I say often enough, oh, Lord, I just want to go home. I want to be where everything is perfect and beautiful. And you said, no, that's not what I mean.
I remember the conversation now. Yeah. Yeah. I think
this was,
yeah, there is. And I think this is about when we first picked up chapter 12 in our preparation, because it jumped out at me as Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God mm-hmm. and his righteousness. The description you have is you just want to go home to heaven and you think of those things. That's not seeking the kingdom. That's seeking escape.
Well, I mean, but you said focus on things above.
Yeah.
Above focus means heaven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And God, though he is in heaven, that doesn't mean he's only there. He's with us. Emmanuel, God with us. What I guess I was trying to say is, and I don't remember the problem or issue, so I'm just going to be generic.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it was at that moment, if you get so entailed and so involved with that you're not seeing that God is walking with us, you're missing the heavenly part. But if you turn to the Lord and say, Lord, you can see this is a difficulty. I'm struggling here. Lord, I can't seem to make ends meet. Lord, I'm not sure what to do here. Can you help? Can you provide? How can I use this situation, Lord, to better your kingdom? Is there good you want to work out of this for your kingdom? Lord, how is this a spiritual problem? Is there something in my life? Or maybe, Lord, you're using me with this other person to work out something spiritually. So you're dwelling with God and always bringing him in intersection and his purpose of why we are left here. I mean, if God was done with you, he'd take you home. Poof. And I'm sure lots of people go, please, Lord, please. But that's the point. He's
not
done.
Done.
Yeah. And he's got purpose for us to be here. And it might just be a smile and it might be that you say something to somebody, whether it be for some of our listeners who have grandkids, to one of the grandkids. It might be for you, Cecilia, talking to your neighbor. I mean, it might be, we can fill in the blank wherever you are, that somewhere, somehow, God is using us as we live to intersect with others so he might save them.
So what you're talking about here, sorry, mm-hmm. What you're talking about, what you might have said instead of focus on things above is focus on what God needs you to do in his name right here.
Thank you. I think you just answered your question.
Do not wait until some deed of greatness you may do. Do not wait to shed your light afar. To the many duties ever near you now be true. Brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor you may guide across the bar. Brighten the corner where you are.
Let's continue on reading with the next couple verses, 32 to 34 of chapter 12.
Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Thank you. good reading there, Cecilia.
Thank you. This talks about what we were talking about just a few minutes ago. But it's talking about focus on what's above again.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we repeating this? Why didn't we read those verses sooner?
Well, I don't think it is repeating itself, actually.
It says...
Well, it is talking about the kingdom, but when in segment six, we were talking about the kingdom in the present, how the kingdom is with us presently, how it's not the future. This one is now speaking about the future. There is both.
I'm still confused.
You're confused by that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When I say focus on the kingdom in the present, I'm saying it's like walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus, and because the kingdom is now. It's not just the future. The kingdom of God is the presence of God. And if he's present with you, then he can help you with whatever you're going through that day. And that's why I listed all those things. Oh, Lord, how can I help this person? What can I do with this or and that? Does this person need something from me? That's the kingdom in the present.
And the other one was the kingdom in the future.
And that's what you just read, the kingdom in the future. One is is the activity we're doing right now. And this, and what Jesus is trying to say, when we invest our energy in the kingdom of the present, it actually is storing up things for the future. A lot of people, and probably not a lot of people who are blind, look at their 401ks, their pensions, they're trying to save up money. Mm-hmm. Everybody tries to do that so that they can, mostly so that they don't have to work, but they can retire and live off the income that they have. And that was the same back then. In certain ways. And so what Jesus is trying to say, you know, you're thinking about saving for the time when you can rest, but hey, you know, really the time you rest is with me in heaven. That's the future. So everything you do now, the smiles, the hellos, the greeting people in the hallway, the thoughtful prayers, that is saving stuff up that you can rest, because what you're doing is you're helping people now so that you can see them in heaven.
Which brings a question. It says, sell all you have or sell all your possessions mm-hmm. and give them to the poor. Let's see. I have a computer, an iPhone, some other things. Should I sell all of those things and give them to, I don't know, the Red Cross or?
Well, let's put it in context. Do you remember just in the last lesson we had the man who had built up, had a great harvest, and he built
the barns,
tore down his
the...
barns, and he built new barns so he could eat, drink, and be merry.
Yes.
Jesus is saying about selling the possessions in context to that person. He's not saying that everybody should go dirt poor and be the one who needs the handout. He's saying, if you've got extra, yeah, use it for others. Like this man with the barns, he shouldn't be saving it just to be selfish for himself, but use it to help others. Now, I'm guessing a lot of people who are blind and visually impaired don't have extra. They don't have the barns of stuff that they can be selfish. They're making it from month to month. And so it's really not speaking directly to us who are in that situation, but for those who are in a more wealthy situation, that you just keep it for yourself and be selfish. Mm. Be generous with it, because as you're generous with it, then it is going to be storing up in heaven, because you're going to be helping people. And that by helping people today, now you're bringing the kingdom of heaven to them, and you'll see them in heaven. Well, Cecilia, we opened this lesson by talking about my brother and sister you had asked, and I shared a memory about my brother. Well, I have I have to share this memory about my sister. I got a lot of good memories about my sister, but there's one that just sticks out in my head like unbelievable.
Okay.
She was practicing piano. She loved playing piano. She played. She's 5 years older than me. And mm-hmm. I remember sitting on the piano bench with her, and she was playing. And then she looked at me, and I was blind at this point, but I could see in my mind's eye the impish look in her eyes. She said, "Do you want to see Mom yell?" I said, "What?"
Oh, no.
And she giggled, and she started playing a song. And sure enough, from the other room, "Mary, stop playing that song."
No.
And we just laughed at the piano bench. Oh,
what song was it? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. It's playing right now. Alley Cat.
Oh.
And so we'd love to hear from you about memories that you have maybe of brothers or sisters or of family members,
mm-hmm.
Especially when they're fun ones and laughter ones.
Yeah.
You can write us at
info,
I-N-F-O,
at not-alone,
that's N-O-T, and then the dash line, and then A-L-O-N-E,
dot
net,
N-E-T.
And remember,
we are not alone.
Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Interlude musicians, Terry Nord and Robert Vaughn. Brighten the Corner Where You Are, performed by Ella Fitzgerald. And Alley Cat, performed by Mary Kay Benson.